Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, so Craig Kimbrell did not get the memo in time that we needed him to end the ball game by 4:02 this afternoon.
He tried. He just lasered 194 on the corner, but the home plate ump was seeing no evil, hearing no evil, and speaking no evil.
Shout out to Matthew Lugo, who's the Angels 7 hitter right now. He just stood up there and looked at a 93 and a 94 pinpoint exact spot, back-to-back pitches over the outer half that just missed. Didn't offer at it at all. Didn't look like he even thought about it. I mean,
it's like, I can't hit that anyway, so I'm just take my chance at the ump.
I was going to say, he might be as ready to go home as anybody else is at the ballpark today, because anticipating like the umpire just giving him, giving Kimbrell and the Astros a slightly bit of a favorable call, did not happen. The Angels do have runners on first and second, and two out with a full count to Matthew Lugo. Kimbrell on the mound, not a save situation, but it feels kind of like it is for Craig Kimbrell, who's not been in these situations very much over the course of the last year or so for a major league ball club anyway. So as soon as this ball game ends, we'll have an H-Town post-game show for you. Astros do lead 8-3. If I did not mention that, you can join the show 713-572-4610, 572-4610. You can call or text to be a part of the show that is really called Area 45, but now
got him.
It is time for a
happy recap.
Sports Radio 610 presents H-Town Postgame with Bajani and Creighton.
After struggling with runners in scoring position all homestand until today, Altuve bids for a two-run home run. It's gone! Jose Altuve gives the Astros a five-run lead. It's now 8-3.
Todd Callis, Jeff Blum on the call, Space City Home Network. Astros just go final with an 8-3 victory over the Angels. They get the series split to a piece, and that's huge. I will explain further as to why that victory today is so important for what the Astros need to continue to do to remain in the baseball gods' good fortune. We'll do that. 713-572-4610 if you'd like to be a part of the show. Hell of a start today by Luis Garcia. We talked about him a little bit throughout the course of our show. Six innings, in his first appearance of work this 2025 season, PC.
And a dub.
And a dub. 1-0. 6 innings, 3 hits, 3 earned runs, no walks, 6 strikeouts, a 79-pitch day for Luis Garcia, who has not pitched in a Major League Baseball game in just about 2.5 years. Had 9 rehab appearances, 8 starts, 4 at the AAA level, ramping up for this opportunity today, and with a pretty darn good showing, PC. Now, if you're a baseball analytics nerd and you do the whole StatCast thing and you are worried about the velocity of XYZ pitches for Luis Garcia, well, maybe a little worrisome for you, because Luis Garcia was not throwing it up there 50 times today at 95 miles per hour, but he did, I think, top out at like 93.7 once. Living around 91, 92 on the fastball, good enough, effective enough, got outs, didn't walk dudes. And I would have to say, even though Craig Kimbrell gave up a couple of hits in a 9th inning PC and made this slightly bit more interesting than I would have liked, pretty damn good showing by the Astros bullpen today as well.
You know, they got quality. Look, every reliever gave up a hit at least, but nobody gave up runs. Caleb Ort came in, gave a hit, got 2 punch outs.
No walks.
No walks. Brian King pitched the 8th inning, gave up a hit, got a ground ball, no walks. Craig Kimbrell gave up 2 hits. It got a little dicey, but 2 strikeouts.
No walks.
And a ground ball. No walks. In fact, Astros pitching today, 0 walks. And that is a big freaking deal. Garcia gave up 2 homers today. Both were Paradis porch cheapies. One of them literally got over the wall by the width of the baseball.
Yeah.
But outside of that, the Astros did not really find themselves in a lot of trouble. I mean, their pitching was very good today. And the Astros today, not only they put up 8 runs on 12 hits, they garnered 5 walks, 5 stolen bases, as well as a couple of bombs today, one from Ramon Urias, one from Jose Altuve, who also doubled in this game. And the Astros, who were 5-for-42 with runners in scoring position.
Woof.
In this series, 6-for-15 today as they pound out 8 runs.
Yeah, not too shabby, man. They are now 76-62 on the season, 42-30 at home for the Astros. And look, also a big deal. I think this is probably one of their more complete baseball games that they've played here recently. I'm talking about in the last few weeks that this offense has been sputtering. The defense at times hasn't been what you need it to be, what you expect it to be. No errors today. They made the plays, and then they made some extraordinary plays. You mentioned the stolen bases, right? And there was some good defensive work in the infield, particularly by Jeremy Pena, Carlos Correa on the left side, Ramon Urias playing second base today. He did the work both in the field and at the plate. Got the Astros off on the right foot today in the second inning with a home run that put him up 1-0. He'd later in the game in the 4th inning have an RBI single. He was big today. Jose Altuve, who hadn't been swinging the bat the best here of late, had a dinger. You just heard that on the highlight. Todd Callis on the call. That was in the 8th inning. Had an RBI double in the 3rd inning. Yordan Alvarez got in on the mix today, PC. And as scary as the opposition's pitchers have been when Yordan steps into the box, not giving him very many opportunities to hurt them, worked a walk today, but they pitched to him a little bit, and he knocked him around a bit.
And they regretted it.
Yeah. He had 2 hits and an RBI, including a run scored, and the last of which was an RBI single also in the 8th inning. At the time, that put the Astros up 6-3. Stroh's getting some insurance runs late when it felt like they very much would need it, just evidenced by how they've squandered 2 really good outings already over the weekend in Spencer Arrighetti and Hunter Brown, both giving you 6 quality innings only to have it be for naught. Now, granted, look, a lot of the blame point the fingers towards the Astros offense and inability to hit, whether men or you know, in or not scoring position hasn't mattered. The Astros just haven't hit the ball worth a lick with any realm of consistency. This feels like an offensive explosion today. 8 runs. I don't care who it's against, but it was timely hitting. You mentioned the runners in scoring position numbers, 6 for 15. Love to see that. More opportunities hopefully coming as Jordan Alvarez, is getting some opportunities. Maybe he heats up. This should, without the shadow of a doubt, be the best version of Jordan that we see the final 24 ball games of this regular season now.
So many guys seem to break out. Look, we know that the Astros hit left-handed pitching very well. You know, such a right-hand dominant team. Jeremy Peña, who had been scuffling at the plate, 2 for 4, pair of doubles, stolen base, walk, rib, run. Peña's hitting 307. Jordan, we talked about, hey, they were crazy enough to throw strikes to Jordan Alvarez. Well, he went 2 for 4. He also walked, and he had a rib and a run. Jose Altuve was 2 for 4. He's been scuffling at the plate. 2 for 4, 2-run homer, also drew a walk. Ramon Urias, 2 for 4. He had a home run. Also had an RBI single. Cam Smith is 2 for 4. He scored twice. He stole 2 bases. Mm-hmm. He ripped a giant hole in his pants right under his ass.
Yeah.
You know, like there were a lot of guys who you just found the bat today. And like we were talking earlier about, you know, so many people, particularly here in our city who cover the teams, us, this isn't a major league lineup. This offense just really isn't that good. No, they've had games where they've struggled. But you can't look at a lineup that goes Peña, Jordan, Altuve, Correa, Walker, and say, those guys are bums.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, Jeremy Peña, I know it feels like he's been struggling, but just looking at his game log the last 10 games, he's hit safely in 8 of his last 10 games, 5 multi-hit games over that stretch as well. His average has maintained during that entire stretch, 307. That's what he ends with today. He's been a very consistent part of the Astros lineup since he'd come back from the rib injury. I mean, boy, how much was he missed? Because, you know, with him out, you'd lost Isak Paredes at the time, and you're talking about two of the most consistent hitters for the Astros in that lineup. Not there. And no Jordan at the time. Guys were really having to pick up the slack, and it was tough go. And you get Jordan back, Peña's starting to get going a little bit. Christian Walker's been hitting the baseball better over the last month plus.
Look, every time
it just didn't feel like it because nobody else has been doing anything.
Every time Altuve goes through one of those stretches where he doesn't hit real well, mm-hmm. he then goes on and is, you know, you can't get him out for a month. So, you know, is Altuve due for another one of those stretches? Because if he's going to hit September and suddenly get scorching hot, that bodes really well for this offense, which for many years has kind of gone the way Jose Altuve has gone.
Yeah.
He, no matter who is in the lineup, whether it's Kyle Tucker, Alex Bregman, George Springer, this team has always kind of gone along with, if Jose Altuve is hitting the ball, they're scoring a lot of runs.
Yeah.
And, you know, when the bottom of the order is producing, and today, bottom of the order, Yiner had a double and a run. Urias had a 2 for 4 day with a home run, drove in 2. Cam Smith was 2 for 4, stole 2 bases and scored twice. Your 6, 7, 8 guys were responsible. They scored 4 times and they drove in 2 and they stole 2 bases. So the bottom of the lineup producing today, and when the guys at the top of the lineup have chances to drive in runs,
yeah.
This team usually scores a lot.
Feels like the old days, right? Like as in 3 months ago when the bottom of the order was like badass, maybe the best in baseball for the Astros.
And you know what? Dana Brown said earlier today, well, Jake Myers might be back for the series in Arlington.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good pull there. You got the Yankees between now and then. 3 with the Yankees, they'll come in to round out the 10-game homestand for the Astros. And then, boom, with that Arlington series, that's the first of 3. They've got a 9-game road trip. And then just like that, PC, it's back home for Texas, the last series of the season against the Seattle Mariners. And then you got 2 series, and then boom, there's your regular season. All that's going to happen in a very short amount of time.
There's only 24 games left in the season.
That's it. And you came in now. You have a 2.5-game lead in the AL West. The Mariners will play a little bit later on this evening. They're in Tampa. to face a pretty good Tampa Bay Rays team. They've been playing some better baseball of late. The Rays
have won. Scrappy team.
They've won three straight games. The Mariners have been, just treading water. They've won. They're 5-5, I think, in their last 10 games, the Mariners are. It would be something if the Rays could help the Astros out a little bit and get a dub tonight and push that margin to 3 going into play tomorrow for the Astros, which will welcome in the New York Yankees. 713-572-4610 if you want to be a part of the H-Town post-game show.
So right now, the Houston Astros are 3.5 back of the Detroit Tigers for the best record in baseball.
And the Tigers.
The Tigers took an L today.
Did. So that's
from the Metropolitans.
Is that updated for sure? 3.5 back?
That is updated. 3.5. Well, let's see. 76-62. Yeah, that should be updated.
Yeah, Tigers are 80-59 now.
So the Meows, they take an L. Also taking an L today, the White Walkers. White Walkers take an L today
in
Cincinnati, 5-4. So they have actually fallen a half a game behind the Meows.
Let's go. I like that, man. 713-572-4610 if you want to be a part of the show. To me, story of the day, there's no question about it. As much as the Astros offense has been reeling, you get 8 runs today. There's that. Cool. But Luis Garcia
going 6 innings.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the story of the day. I like I said, I know he gave up the 2 cheapy home runs, and they were cheapies.
I didn't see the other one.
May not have been allegedly 360 feet into the Crawford boxes, so think like 2 rows up.
Yeah.
Remember they had the camera like way up high?
Oh, the one they lost. Yeah.
In reality, it was like 2 rows up.
Okay.
And pitches that likely would not have been homers and like nearly – probably like 27 out of the other parks. If this series was being played in Anaheim, they would not have gone out.
Well, I don't know. The one where the camera was jacking with us, that was Adele. It says 396 feet for him.
Oh, okay. So I thought it said 360.
The one that barely got over the wall, that's called 339 feet for some odd reason.
Yeah, gifted.
I feel if there were no seats behind the yellow stripe of the Crawford boxes, I feel like that ball would have just like fallen straight down. So whatever it is down the left field foul line, is it like 322 or 323?
I thought
something
it was like 330, but either way.
Yeah, 330. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, 330. I'd give it, what did they say, 339? Yeah, yeah, I'll give it 339.
They said 339. Now look, he hit it like a laser. It's 105.5 with
the bat. Believe that.
But it was like a line drive that probably does not go out in 25 of 30 parks.
Yeah. Hey, you know what else is really cool about this whole damn series? I know you only got a split, but I find myself saying more times than not, is Mike Trout still playing baseball? Because he didn't kill you. He didn't kill you.
Historically, he doesn't hit the Astros.
I love that. I love that. But,
dude,
you know,
Mike Trout's hitting 231 this year.
Yes, but look at the on base. It's 361.
Oh, he walks. And when he does hit it, he hits it far. But Mike Trout's hitting 231.
Mm-hmm.
He's 34 years old.
Yeah. I just like that feeling.
Trout, 20 homers, 54 ribs, 231 average, 786 OPS. His career OPS is 978.
Yeah.
So even though you could say, all right, well, he's still somewhat productive. This would represent a massive fall off from Mike Trout. And if you consider how long his contract is.
Oh.
Because remember, he signed a 12-year, $426.5 million deal.
Is he going to be getting paid longer than Bobby Bonilla?
I don't know if he's got, I don't know how much of his contract is deferred. But I'm going to tell you that he is due to make $37+ million for the next 5 years.
And he's not a spring chicken anymore.
He's 34. He's 33. Well, he just turned 34. So this is technically his age 33 season.
Yeah.
But he is now currently 34 years old. And they've got 5 more years of Mike Trout. And if he's entering decline now, at least the last 3 years of that contract is probably going to be super sus.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've already had at least half this contract with him on the injured list.
Yeah, have fun with that, Anaheim from L.A. Coming up next, the Astros poised to win the division for a fifth straight year, but what is
it? You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
What does it look like? What is it going to look like for the next 24 ball games? We'll discuss next at Sports Radio 610.
Sports Radio 610 presents H-Town Postgame with Bajani and Creighton.
Towards short, Pena will charge and make the throw. That'll do it. Astros win it 8-3. Astros splitting this four-game series against the Angels, and they are now 4-3 on the homestand and lead Seattle by 2.5 in the AL West.
Yeah, we were saying it could be up to three by the end of the night if the Mariners lose to the Rays. They'll play them a little bit later on. I think first pitch in that one set for sometime in the 6 o'clock hour. So you'll have that to monitor tonight. 713-572-4610, 572-4610. If you want to be a part of the H-Town postgame show, as soon as we can, we'll let you hear from Astros manager Joe Espada. Between now and then, PC, Brian McTaggart at MLB.com did a little piece on the Astros over the weekend. In fact, I think it was last night. And it was just kind of like a look at what the last 4 years have been for the Astros going into the final month of the regular season. So going into the month of September, what does it look like? How tough has the road been for them? And it's been interesting over the course of the last 4 years, three of the 4 years anyway. One of those seasons, it was in 2022, the Astros just whooped everybody's ass. It wasn't a thing. They started the month with an 11.5 game lead over the Seattle Mariners. It's not the case today. In fact, this is as close as it's been since 2023, when they entered the month of September in a dead heat tie with the Seattle Mariners, and they went 13-15 the rest of the way, came down to literally the final day of the season. And if not for the Astros having won the regular season series tiebreaker over the M's, well, they wouldn't have they wouldn't have been atop the AL West. Let's just say that at the very least in 2023. What does it look like for the Astros now? Well, they got the big win today. It's a series split. And I will compound all of these numbers that we're about to discuss with one key number that our old buddy Mark Ryan, who used to work here at Sports Radio 610, now he's a sports talk show host up in Detroit. He had this stat nugget earlier this afternoon, and it was looking at over the course of the last 10 years, the necessary series winning percentage for a baseball team. So let's just take, for instance, the Astros. Have they won at least 60% of their series this season? For them, the Astros, thanks to a split today, the answer is yes. They've won just over 60% of their series. In fact, I think it's like 60.4%. Well, Mark Ryan is saying that over the course of the last 10 years, the majority of teams that have won the World Series have had at least a 60% series win percentage during their season. Now, he's a Tiger fan now. So it's applicable for his Detroit Tigers at this point in time, but very applicable for the Houston Astros.
We won't talk about his real favorite team.
Is it a team that the M's are playing tonight?
Yeah, it is not.
Oh, who is it?
Believe it or not.
Oh, no, don't say it. Don't say Junk Grabbers.
No, worse.
Oh, the Dodgers?
No, same level.
Okay, well, if it's not one of those two, it's not that bad.
It is.
Who is it? No, it's not the Yankees.
It's the Slumlords.
No! Yes. I didn't even think that was possible.
He grew up a Yankees fan. He also is an Astros fan.
Yeah, yeah.
And now that he's working in Detroit, has to be a Tigers fan
because
it's good for business.
I'm just trying to think of all the places he worked. That's why the Rays was in my mind. And I never would have thought Junk Grabbers, definitely not Dodgers, but definitely not Yankees. You kidding me? That is pretty bad.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's worked in places where they've, you know, covered the Braves, covered the Rays, covered the Astros.
I could stomach the Braves.
You know, and then it was like all Clemson all the time. And now the Tigers.
Yeah, yeah. So check this out, PC. You got 24 ball games left in the regular season for the Astros, okay? They're looking for their fifth straight American League West Division title. It'll be their eighth in the last 9 years if the Astros get the job done this season. Now, I mentioned 2022, they sealed the deal with 14 days left in the season. In 21, they went all the way down to game 159 before they clinched it. In 2022... In 2024, it went to game 158. Now, they play the Mariners, not the final week of the season this go-round, but it's pretty dang close. It's a three-game series from September 19 till September 21. You've still got three games against the A's on the road and three games against this team that they just got done splitting with today, the Angels, on the road for the season to come to an end. So that would be 62... 160, 59, 58, 57, 56. Do the Astros win the AL West before or after game 156, i.e. the final game of the Mariners series?
Probably after.
You think it goes down after?
There are a two-game lead right now. It might be about you know, 2-3 games is probably where they're going to be when they win this division. It might be just two games.
I wouldn't disagree with you. And here's what makes that Mariners series so damn scary. and obviously, it's important, but it's scary for me. Right now, the Astros and Mariners are tied in the regular season series. That three games will determine the tiebreaker. And Astros need that tiebreaker because very much like in 2023, if not for the Astros holding that tiebreaker, Mariners won the last game of the season. So did the Astros. But if they didn't hold that tiebreaker, it would have been a very different situation. I'm worried about that series, but even prior to that series, look at this stretch that the Astros are about to embark on. They've got three against the Yankees beginning tomorrow, and never mind the Rangers, but you've got three
Rangers
on the,
are hot right now.
They are, but I'm looking at Toronto because they've been mashing people, it feels like, for about a month and a half now, and that's on the road. And then you got to go to Atlanta, and then you got the Rangers again before you get to that pivotal series against the Mariners.
Look, they've got a stretch here where they're going to play against some good teams. And I know Astros fans always feel like Houston plays down to its competition. They also tend to raise their level of play against the better teams in baseball. So Yankees coming to town, going to Arlington, going to Toronto. I know Atlanta's not that good this year, but then you come back.
They played better.
And you have Arlington, you have Seattle, and then you go to Sacramento, and then you go to Anaheim to finish the year.
Mm-hmm.
So your last four series of the season are all against division opponents. That is where you make your hay. And I feel like this is the part of the year where the Astros tend to raise their level of play. And they're going to have to because the pitching staff is still evolving with injuries, with guys trying to come back from injury, some guys trying to figure out who and what they are after injury. You've got your lineup starting to get healthier. Yordan Alvarez has been back for a week. Dana Brown said Jake Meyers should be back when they are in Arlington, mm-hmm. which is Friday. I think Jake Meyers could be back on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's a lot going on. Whether or not Zach DiCenzo ever gets recalled or if he stays at AAA, whether or not they ever call up Pedro Leon, who all he does is hit while he's in AAA. We'll see what we do with that. Taylor Trammell got activated today.
Did, yeah.
They
more excited about Trammell than I am DiCenzo because of who's factored in for them.
They DFA'd some guy you've never heard of in order to make room for Garcia.
Man, you two, I thought the same thing. I was like, who the hell is this guy? And when did he get here? I don't even remember his name. Doesn't matter. But
his name was Who Cares.
Yeah, that's
the guy who's never going to play.
I thought for sure. It was like, PC's going to know this guy.
So they DFA'd some rando and they, you know, put Louis Garcia back onto the 40-man roster. This series against the Yankees, right? You got Fromber and Max Fried. That's a big-time pitching matchup. Then you have Jason Alexander pitching against Will Warren.
Mm-hmm.
And Will Warren is up and down. But then Javier and Carlos Rodon.
That could be a good one.
That's another one.
Yeah.
Because Rodon has been really good. He's been striking a ton of guys out. But Rodon against the Astros has been very feast or famine.
Yeah.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And Javier, who has had a very good track record against the Yankees, getting that start. That game it says it's on MLB Network. I don't know if that means it's not going to be on Space City. I would think it's going to be on Space City as well as MLB Network. And local blackouts will apply.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday's game is on TBS.
Woohoo!
And Wednesday's game is on Prime Video.
Yeah. Something or nothing. According to Tankathon, the Astros have the 13th most difficult schedule remaining. Their opponents with winning percentage is a combined 0.508. The Mariners have the 7th easiest schedule remaining. Opponents' combined winning percentage is 477. Something or nothing?
I'm going to say nothing. One thing is, like, when August and September, a lot of teams... that have gotten their heads kicked in all year long have moved on some veteran players. They've brought up some young kids who are hungry. They're energetic. And it puts a little bounce into the team. And a lot of those teams play a little better down the stretch than they did all year long. So I'm going to say nothing, because this is the time of year where teams like the Angels and teams like the Braves and teams like the A's play a little better than their records would normally indicate, because you got more young kids on there and like they're just here to play baseball.
Yeah. Patrick Creighton, Sean Bajani, we are Area 45. Coming up next, we'll do a couple of things. We'll get you Joe Espada, the latest from him, and bold predictions coming up at the top of the hour for the Texans. All that is coming up next in Sports Radio 610. All right, H-Town postgame show back with you. Area 45, 713-572-4610. If you want to be a part of the show, you can call or text. Joe Espada spoke to the media just moments ago after the Astros 8-3 dub over the Angels. Let's hear what the skipper had to say.
He first of all, he's waited 2 years to get on the mound, and just to see him go out there and compete and see the smile on his face, and I'm proud of him because he really worked really hard to get to this point. And I thought he threw the ball really well. Got the cutter, threw his fastball up in the zone when he needed to. Very effective when he stayed away from the middle of the plate. Executed really well, gave us six strong innings.
Were you worried about that fourth inning?
What happened in the fourth inning?
About the three runs he gave up and
they
were able to bounce back?
No.
You guys talked about the velocity would come a little bit. It was up and down today, but how is he going to, if this is going to be his velocity for the rest of the year, how is he maybe going to have to pitch and maybe adjust to that?
Well, I guess we're going to have to wait and see, right?
You asked before the game just how he'd be different. What were the biggest differences you've seen, today that he was in 2023?
For me, it's, he pitched to his strength, which is the cutter, the fastball command. He threw some good sweepers. Like, that's who he is, right? If we go swimming in those waters and waiting for the velo, we're going to have to wait and see what the future might bring, right? But I think the execution, the game plan, and the fact that after 2 years of not pitching, he went out there against a really good hitting lineup and he throws six innings, I tip my hat to him.
Joe, what was his mindset like over the last 2 years? Because last year it seemed like every time he seemed close, he had a setback. And take us through that mindset of just trying to talk, because 2 years is a long time.
With perseverance and his faith too. He's been through this, the ups and downs, and he has leaned on a lot of people, and not only our medical staff, but on the players and a lot of people who has support system that we've been here through all this stuff, through these tough stretches. He's a strong kid, physically and mentally, and to get to this point, I just couldn't be any prouder of him. After the game, I gave him a big hug, and I said, listen, it's not easy to do what you did today. A lot of people start questioning themselves. They start, having doubts about if I'm ever going to get back on the mound, but the fact that he did today, proud of him.
Do you think he sustained this stuff pretty well with the six innings, like in the middle of the way part of the
round? Yes, I thought it was solid throughout those six innings. Sí, lo conocemos muy bien, nos hemos enfrentado a él muchas veces y sabemos la manera que él le gusta atacar los bateadores. Creo que el plan de hoy estuvo muy bueno, estuvo efectivo, nos quedamos en el plan, especialmente con cuando teníamos corredores en posición de anotar.
¿Qué te le ha parecido la visión de Urias al equipo?
Okay, no español, no hablo, no comprendo. Unless Byron, do you know how to speak Spanish?
My friend and his girlfriend taught me, but it's been a while, so I don't know. No,
okay, yeah, you're out on that one. All right,
he only knows the bad words.
Yeah, there's Joe Espada. I couldn't understand the question. I know Chandler Rome asked it. It was the second question of the press conference. And it prompted the wait and see response from Joe Espada. Was he talking about like how Luis is going to be used in the future, or like as in maybe like a tandem kind of a role? I couldn't make out the question totally, but for Joe to not answer the question with nothing more than we'll have to wait and see. I know it had something to do with the usage. I just couldn't make it out. Could you?
Well, you know what? I couldn't make it out either. But, you know, Luis García gave you six innings today. And yeah. I guess the question is, can he consistently give you six innings? And the Angels lineup is not necessarily the Mariners lineup or the Rangers lineup or the Yankees lineup, et cetera. So what can you – how far can you push him? And, you know, is that a situation where, hey, as García continues to pitch, maybe his arm gets a little stronger and his velocity comes back, or is this who he's going to be for the rest of the season? He's going to be a guy who throws like 92 miles an hour, sometimes less, and he's just going to get guys with deception and, you know, good command and you know, having, you know, good ball placement and things like that. How are you supposed to answer that question? He's pitched one freaking game.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and he gave up two cheap, he gave a cheapy homer and then like a legit homer.
Mm-hmm.
But what that doesn't mean he's going to give up two homers every game.
No. So look, you have to be very pleased with what you got from Luis García today.
If this is at the back of the rotation, right? If García's going to be the back of the rotation guy, then like this is what they need. The back of the rotation has been a mess.
Think about
they're constantly rotating guys in and out. They don't know who's pitching, who's not pitching. You know. You had a couple of guys who started the year, like Ryan Gusto and Colton Gordon, and they pitched okay for you. But then as the league started to see them more often, well, they started to get pounded around. By the way, Ryan Gusto getting his absolute ass taken off in Tampa Bay. He has been getting annihilated.
Mm-hmm.
So they dealt him at the right time. But like you look at like what their rotation is right now, Fromber and Hunter at the front. You got Javier. You got Alexander. And now you have Arrigetti and García. So the rotation starting to take its shape.
Yeah.
And when the rotation takes its shape, that allows all the guys in the bullpen to start to have defined roles. And it's not, oh, my God, I might be pitching the third inning today. I might pitch the sixth inning tomorrow. Guys have no idea, you know, when, why, how they're going to get used because it's an all hands on deck type of thing. When we've seen this, we saw this last year. I mean, I told you this was going to happen last year, and then it did. Well, guess what I'm telling you again? When the starting rotation gets settled, the bullpen gets settled. In fact, when the starting rotation gets settled, guys in the lineup tend to hit better because they're more confident in their starting pitcher.
Yeah, well, you should be really confident in the Astros starting pitchers right now. García going six today, that's the fourth straight dude to go six quality innings. For you, the offense hadn't reciprocated in some of those.
Look, it's a big deal that Luis García came out and threw six innings. Now, even if he goes five innings in his next start, if he gives you five strong innings,
yeah, is it quality?
You're not going to complain about it. You'll take that from the guy at the back of your rotation. And that they're using the six-man rotation right now because you're playing a lot of games in a short period of time. Once that ends and you go back to the five-man rotation, well, there's an extra guy.
Yeah, well.
And this is where that tandem thing really starts to pick up is, you know, Dispenser Arrigetti now maybe tandem along with Christian Javier.
That's going to be something to keep an eye on.
Is like right now, I don't think Lance McCullers Jr. is on the playoff roster.
No.
So what his role is the rest of the way, really, to me, should really only be a tandem role or a low-leverage role. They haven't recalled J.P. France. I don't know if they will. But if they do, that's a guy that, you know, hey, you know, you're going to tandem with Luis García, and you're going to pitch, you know, he's going to give me 4-5, and you're going to give me 2-3.
The unknown with J.P. France is more valuable to me than what I already know about Lance McCullers. Like, if this guy continues to pitch well in his rehab assignments, and now I know he's with Sugarland.
Yeah, so he's off of rehab. France. He's just been optioned. He can't come up until the 5th because he was optioned.
Anything he does not with the Astros, if he's pitching, to me is rehab to me because you're still looking and evaluating to see if this guy is going to be able to help you with the Astros. I'm telling you, I'm so out on Lance McCullers right now, it's not even funny. If J.P. France is respectable, like velocity-wise, but if the guy's just getting outs and he's not walking people, I need to see you up here with the big roster because I think you can get outs up here too. Just food for thought. Keep this in mind. Luis García, as it's built right now with the rotation, and it could change because there's some days off that could affect how the Astros attack the rotation going forward. But since García pitched today, he's not slated to pitch again until the series finale against the Texas Rangers on September 7th. You could see García against Texas. You could see García again against the Braves. And then you might see Garcia against the biggest opponent of the season to date against the Mariners. We'll see how the Astros decide to attack that. Between now and then, they have 3 days off.
So, by the way, J.P. France, well, he's been ass. In the month of August, 19 innings, 16 earned runs, 19 walks, 20 strikeouts.
Walks. No.
7.58 ERA.
Yeah. Holler at you next year, big dog.
Yeah. And I said he was going to have the most difficult path back because the surgery he had was shoulder capsule surgery is an SOB to come back from. It saps your velocity. It is really, really difficult. And he's a guy who didn't have great velocity. His secondary stuff was really his best stuff, his changeup. And, you know, I wish the best for JP, but it's not going to be this year.
Champ Sly saw me for not knowing Spanish. He says, living in Houston and don't even speak Spanish, you, my friend, and are no longer an Aloysius.
That's harsh.
Sorry, Champ Sly.
That's harsh.
You know, I used to work at Randall's back in the day. It was my first job, and I was 16, not 17, 18
Aloysius.
Years old.
Not an Aloysius. That's harsh.
I'll never forget, like, this old Spanish lady got heated at me, like, physically angry at me for not knowing Spanish. She wanted me to help her do something, and I'm like a sacker, just some little slap sacker of groceries back in the day. I didn't know a word of Spanish back then. She got physically angry at me. Like, she would have had me by the throat if somebody would have let her.
You know, Champ even spelt Aloysius properly.
I would have spelt it wrong then, I think. I don't know how you spell
Aloysius
it.
Properly.
Good job, Champ. Coming up next, 5 o'clock hour, bold predictions for your 2025 Texans. We'll do it next.